Well, there we're going to be in Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to pick back up where we left off. And I can't remember. I'm going to have to get Sister Ellen to let me know. I could go back and look at my computer messages, but I hadn't counted up exactly how many messages we're up to in the book of Daniel right now. But it's several dozen, I'm sure. But here we come to chapter 9, and we were talking about Daniel's prayer. One of the greatest prayers in the Word of God is found right here in this chapter. And this prayer is coming to an end. And that's where we're going to be this morning, where Daniel is praying out to God for mercy and forgiveness. It's toward the end of the captivity. Daniel's been there under the Babylonian Empire, and now the Medes and Persians, and we see that it's coming to an end, and this is the context we see in verse 20. Let's begin reading in verse 20. The Bible says, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for the book of Daniel. I want to thank you for your precious holy word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit and His ministry. I do pray that He would have free course in our hearts this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for all our visitors. Lord, would you help them today? Would you encourage them? I pray for all the members that you would meet their needs. And Lord, draw us closer to yourself during this time. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to preach a message to you this morning entitled, "Touched by an Angel." Touched by an Angel. Now, no, I'm not getting ready to talk about that drama series that was on television for about 15 years. I think they show reruns on Hallmark now. I'm not sure, Brother Ricky, do they still show that on Hallmark? I know that's his favorite channel. I'm just kidding, Brother Ricky. But with all honesty, they showed it, and I don't even know what it was all about, but it was about just a group of people that were supposed to be angels, and they helped people, and it was supposed to be a kind of lovey-dovey, positive thing, kind of, you know, whatever. But the truth is, this is not what I'm going to talk about this morning, "Touched by an Angel." That was fake, and this, my friend, was reality. Amen. This is the Word of God, and this was a man that was truly and literally touched by an angel. And I want to talk about what happened on this occasion, what brought about this occasion, and exactly what was happening in Daniel's life. You know, you'll remember the context here, wouldn't you? Daniel was sort of in turmoil in his heart. He was getting toward the end of captivity, but yet he's got this vision, and he was thinking that the 70 years was coming to an end. He was like, oh man, we're getting near, but now this vision is coming through and is going to reveal some other 70s. And he's thinking to himself, oh my, is this thing going to be extended because of the sin of Israel, because of my sin? And boy, Daniel, it just broke him. And that's where that prayer resulted. This is what that prayer resulted from, is from a spirit of brokenness. Daniel got a hold of God. And we talked about him crying out on the behalf of God's mercy, and reaching out to the Lord, and confession, and even praise, and acknowledging Almighty God. And that's the context we have here. We see Daniel had just prayer, and is praying a prayer of desperation, of dependence, and dedication of Almighty God. I want us to see here about this angelic appearance. What do we see about this angelic appearance? Well, first of all, let's just find out what the Word of God says, who this angel is. Who touched Daniel? To where we see there in our verse, very clearly, at the end of verse 21, Daniel said, "This angel touched me." He touched me and basically got his attention. Who was this? Where it was Gabriel. We find that in verse 21. It says it very clearly, his name right there. Now, what's significant about this angel? Well, this was a special messenger angel. All angels, God's angels, are messengers. They're ministering saints. They send messages for God, but this was an extra special messenger. He would deliver the message through the Word of God in several instances that we'll see here in just a minute. We know that he gave the message to Mary on the birth of the Lord Jesus. And we see that also he announced John the Baptist's birth. He gave those special messages sent from God. And now he's got another message, Gabriel does, for the prophet Daniel. For the man Daniel here, we're going to see his message. Now, you'll remember, they are already, if you will, buddies. I call them buddies. They've been acquainted. They had got to know each other back in chapter 8. You remember that? On the vision of the ram and the goat. And Gabriel came and gave light to that. But he did not come in person. That's very significant about this point. The last vision in chapter 8, it was not in person. He saw the vision. But here, Gabriel is going to visit Daniel in person. And there's going to be significance to that. It's a very special message. One of the greatest prophecies in all the Word of God we will be getting to in the soon days ahead. We see here Gabriel comes to him. I like what John Phillips said about angels. Although angels are normally invisible, that does not make their ministry less real. I'm telling you what, I'm not one of these guys that is infatuated with angels, okay? But one thing I will say very clearly with the authority of God's Word, that angels are all around us all the time. They're numerous. They're working for Almighty God. They're messengers. And I want to tell you, angels are a vital part in spiritual warfare. We read that clearly in the Word of God. And so we see here that Gabriel is coming to give a message to a distressed saint of God by the name of Daniel. What does the Bible say about angels? Well, we know in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it says this. Are they, angels, not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Hey, as I said, we see God's angels playing a vital role in our battles with the wicked one. Angels were also sent, and you'll notice in the book of Acts, chapter 10, angels were sent. Remember, God sent that angel to help express the message to Cornelius. And the message that he had for him, God sent an angel. We also see Peter, when Peter needed to be released from jail, God sent one of his angels to release Peter from that jail. And that was Acts chapter 12. We see here the angel sent by God, Gabriel. But then, not only do we see who touched Daniel, but secondly, when was he touched? Look in the Word of God. We see he was touched. When was he touched? Well, very clearly, I want to say, number one, he was touched when he was praying. He was praying. You notice he uses that term twice. Willis, I was what speaking, or while I was speaking is what that means. During the time of my prayer, that's when the angel came. And we see that in the Word of God very clearly, that's when God responds, by the way, to His people. It's when they're praying. It's when they're supplicating. Look at all the terminology that Daniel uses. Look there in your Bible. He says, while I was speaking, praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, and what else? Presenting my supplication before the Lord. And then in verse 21 again, while I was speaking, in prayer. So here we are that Daniel is praying. Now, it's significant that we know that it was in the evening time, the oblation, which is the sacrifice that was given from the law of Moses. You'll find that description in Numbers chapter 23, verses 3 through 8. You'll see where it talks about the commandments for the evening offering that was to be given, and that was surely the picture that we see here, Daniel being faithful to his time of prayer and sacrifice to the Almighty God. Hold your place there and look with me over in verse James, the book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4. You can hold your place there in Daniel chapter 9. We'll go back there and go over to James chapter 4. In this area of asking God and crying out to God for His help and in time of need, we see here in James chapter 4, look there. It says in James chapter 4, verse 1, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war." Now listen to what he says. "Yet ye have not, because ye ask not." And he says, "When you do ask, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." I want to tell you, dear friend, Daniel was the contrary to this. His prayer in no way was to consume it upon his lust. His prayer was because he had a broken heart for his own sin and for the sin of his people, the people of Israel, and a brokenness before an almighty holy God, saying, "Lord, we need you to do something." He was coming to him with a pure heart. You know, a lot of times when we come to God, folks, let's be honest, we come to consume things upon our lust. We come to Him when it's convenient for us. The things that God will bring into our lives many times is to get us back in the prayer closet. I believe that. But the truth is here, Daniel was serious about getting in touch with the Lord. He was asking of God, and he was determined to get in touch with the Lord. And by the way, as we talked about in class this morning, if you were determined to get in touch with the Lord, can I just say, you will. The Lord is not going to resist us. He's not going to run from us. In fact, the very opposite, when we come to Him with a sincere heart, He draws closer to us, according to James. "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh unto you," it says right there in verse 8. And Daniel is seeking to draw nigh to the Lord God. And we see that in James chapter 4. Continuing holding your place over in Daniel, go over to Matthew with me. Matthew, first book of the New Testament there in chapter 6. Look with me in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we see the Lord saying here and giving an example of what prayer is supposed to look like. And He's speaking with a message here of that's against the Pharisaical way of doing things. But he says in verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou," he says, "when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth thee in secret, shall reward thee openly." You see here, Jesus is teaching a lesson on prayer, and the very fact where most of us, I would say most of us, there is some here that perhaps this is not a struggle, but for most of us, that is our weakest link, is the private prayer life. Most of us can pray publicly with a friend, or if it's in a service, or a Bible study, or for a meal. Those things come pretty easily to us. They're pretty convenient. But actually disciplining ourselves in such a way to get us in the secret place, that's a different story. But what an example of Daniel. Daniel stayed consistent in the secret place. And he prayed secretly, and God is getting ready to reward him openly with the greatest prophecy, one of the greatest prophecies in the Word of God. He's going to reward him for his faithful prayer life, seeking God faithfully. I have to ask myself this morning, and I ask you, dear friend, where would you gauge your prayer life? Now, none of us have arrived. This is an area that none of us will ever arrive. But where are we? And this is what I would gauge, and this is what I have to honestly gauge myself. I think this is probably the fairest, probably makes the most sense for all of us. We could say, well, how can I gauge my prayer life? Well, one of the ways, and maybe it's not perfect way of gauging, maybe it has some faults, but I believe it is this. Try to think back to where your prayer life was the strongest. I don't know when that was. You do. Have you fallen back from that? That's a good way to gauge your prayer life, and that's a good way to gauge mine. If there was a time in my life where I had grown and made some commitments to pray, and I have fallen away from that, I'd stop seeking God like I did before. I probably need to get that renewed, dear friend. And Daniel kept that renewal before the Lord. And we see that example here of his supplicating. He was touched when he got a hold of the Lord. And I'm convinced, dear church, if we want to have the touch of God upon our church, if we want the touch of God upon our homes, if we want the touch of God upon our lives personally, we have got to supplicate. Amen. We've got to get in the secret place of Almighty God. You say, parents, I can't get anywhere with my teenagers. They won't listen to anything I say. I try and try and try and try and try. I don't see any movement in their hearts. Hey, where are you in the secret place? Are you looking for a touch of God without supplicating? I do that even as a preacher of the gospel and a pastor of this church. Sometimes I'm trying to counsel. Sometimes I'm trying to grow and do things in the ministry. And God reminds me, son, you are working in the flesh. You are trying to do all these things without getting into the secret place. And church, we need to ask Almighty God, even this day, this Sunday morning, Lord, would You renew a prayer life within us of the secret place? Maybe that's a decision that needs to be made. But not only do I see He was touched when He was supplicating, but praise God, He was touched by an angel. He was touched by the Lord while He was sacrificing. That's what the Word of God says. The evening sacrifice we see there in the Word of God. A faithful sacrifice. And I don't have time to go into the details of that. But friend, there was some of the shedding of blood. There was a costly sacrifice given there. It was given forth because Daniel knew that was expected of him. It was commanded and expected. Do you know, dear friend, God commands and expects the same thing from us? A sacrifice. A willing sacrifice, as we would read in the book of Romans. You know, I know if you're like me, sometimes we expect the touch of God upon our lives or upon a situation. And perhaps we're supplicating and praying. But then, friends, we can't stop there. We got to ask ourselves, are we sacrificing? Is there anything in my life that I'm giving forth? Is it costing me anything in my Christian walk to get a hold of the Lord? What do you say? Preacher, pastor, are you telling us that we gotta pay to pray? No. I'm not telling you that you gotta pay to pray. Now there would be some people out there that some religious groups that do teach that. And that's false doctrine. We don't pay to pray. Why don't we have to pay to pray, dear friend? Because the price was already paid on Calvary. Amen. The shedding of the blood, the rending of the veil. Listen, that was Almighty King Jesus that did that for us already. Taken care of. He paved the way. He paved the price. He was our great intercessor. He is made the one that reconciled God and man. He is the man, the intercessor, the man Christ Jesus. He's the one that intercedes for us. But can I say this? We don't have to pay to pray because He paid it. But here's the question. Does He have what He paid for? That's the question we got to ask ourselves. Does He have, the Lord God, does He have what He paid for? Does He have my life? Does He have my desires? Does He not only have my Sunday morning, but guess what? Does He have my Monday through Saturday? Does He have my Friday nights and my Saturday nights? Hey, does He have my desires? Does He have my tongue and my language? Does He have my marriage? Does He have my family? Does He have my possessions? Does He have my time? Does He have my effort? Listen, does God have what He paid for? We don't want to rob the Lord, do we? I believe sometimes, if we're not mistaken, we'll treat God like an ATM, won't we? I remember as a young fella, I was so happy I got a bank account set up. Boy, I thought I was on top of the world. Had me a checking account. And man, with that checking account, I had me an ATM card. Ooh-wee.
Now, I had that card, and what I did not tell anybody is all I had was $25 in my checking account. I was a broke young man. I was 16 years old, but you know, that ATM card, I could go and get my money if I needed $5 or $10 at the time. But that's the funny thing about it. Even with that being that broke, wouldn't it be absurd for me to go to my bank and with my ATM account, put my ATM in, and ask for $100? It ain't gonna happen. They're going to come across and say, uh-uh. Well, I don't know if it would say uh-uh, but it'd be something like that. Keep dreaming. I'm sure some gracious way they would say that. But you know, I believe sometimes folks will do that to the Lord. We've made no deposits all week. We've lived for the world. We've lived for self. We've lived for Satan. And then when something comes up, we go to God and we expect Him to put out. When we have not deposited 1 ounce of energy towards Him, we've not sought Him each day in our secret place, we've not cried out to Him, He's been on standby just in case, and we use Him as an ATM, thinking that there's been deposits made and there hasn't. But I want to tell you something, it's a whole different story. Oh, dear friend, dear God, and I'm not talking about monetary things, I'm talking about spiritual things. You get a hold of the Lord, you seek Him daily. You find that secret place. You give unto Him praise and gratitude. He has all your possessions, everything. I want to tell you, you call out to God, you'll have the touch of God on your life. You'll see God answering prayers like never before. You'll see Him moving you like never before. You'll see Him opening doors like never before. I'm telling you, you'll see the touch of God upon your life. And I'll see it upon my life. As we have those things, I'm reminded what David said in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. He said this, "And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price." David was wanting to pay good money and possessions for the piece of property that he wanted there, "but neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. He said, "Listen, I can't just let you give this to me. It's got to cost me something." And may the Lord God give us a spirit of that, dear church, that when we get a hold of the Lord, we understand, hey, we set aside flesh for the sake of getting in touch with the Lord. And I believe Daniel was doing just that when Gabriel visited him. So moving forth, when talking about who touched him and when he was touched, but thirdly and lastly, let me share this with you. Why did Gabriel touch him? I mean, why couldn't he just show up, dear friend, and say, "Daniel"? He could have. Couldn't he just said his name? But he touched him. Go back to the Word of God there in Daniel chapter 9, please. Daniel chapter 9, we see back that it says the angel touched him, and I find that very interesting. Well, I believe the Holy Spirit put it there because there is significance, and what he's saying there is that he wanted to go out of his way to make special attention to let Daniel know that he was there in a very personal way. And folks, can I convey to you, with all that is within me, God is doing the same thing for you this morning. God wants to convey to you, by the power of His Spirit, that He is near and ready to help you. He is ready to answer your prayer. Just like Daniel was crying out, and he cried out for a while. Could you imagine the 70 years of captivity, how many times he would cry out to God for deliverance? And it's coming to that time, and God sent His special messenger, Gabriel, to touch him. Why did He touch him? I believe, number one, to settle his fears. Hey, Daniel had some serious fears. And I don't blame him. The things that he was facing in captivity and his people, whether they were going to be free or not, that's why he was confessing so fervently. But get this. God sent Gabriel to let him know, "Look, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. I have the message for you. Don't get the vision confused. Your 70 years of captivity will be coming to an end. And we'll talk about the prophecy in our next message. But he's going to tell him, I have another prophecy for you. It's a different one. It's not relating specifically to your captivity. It's talking futuristic. And he's going to comfort him and settle his fears. Hey, can I ask you something, dear church? Is there some folks here this morning and you would say, honestly, I'm facing some real fears. And you need a touch from God. Hey, can I tell you, just get in line with Daniel and do what Daniel did. You get a hold of the Lord through supplication and prayers, through sacrificial giving of your life daily. God is already on His way. He's already got a messenger on the way for your specific issue. And God sent this messenger, Gabriel, to settle his fears. Listen to this message of comfort that was given to Isaiah. 41:10, it says here, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. See what the Lord's saying? He will uphold with His own hand. Isn't that a blessing? I don't know about y'all, but in my life, when I have really fumbled in some instance and down, I have always appreciated someone, whoever it may be, it could have been a stranger at times, but someone that would come alongside me and give me a touch of care. Whether it's just an arm over the shoulder and even a squeeze on the shoulder. And what is that? That's a touch of concern, a touch of care. I want to tell you something. There's something special about that. And that's exactly what God's doing to Daniel. He's sending His angel Gabriel to give him a touch of comfort and security, letting him know that, hey, Daniel, I'm here for you. I hadn't forgotten about you. I'm going to honor your prayers. I'm going to be faithful to you just like I said, and I'm going to honor your faithfulness. That touch of comfort. I even saw any of you watch any of those ball games yesterday, and you see any of those football players, man, when they fumble it, when they mess up, man, you got, man, the team is winning, they're making the drive, and man, then you got Dodo who jumps off sides and runs it for everybody. But man, I tell you what, I always appreciated, even when Dodo does that, he goes over to the sideline and you have one of those players that just, I don't know, whoever it may be, that goes over to him and just puts his arm around him or hits him on the back and just tells him, you know what, it's okay. You know what that is? That's a touch of concern and a touch of care there. And that's what we see here to settle his fears. But not only to settle his fears, but get this, to signify his future. Again, Daniel didn't know where his future was going. Is that anybody here this morning? You honestly don't know where your future's going? Maybe somebody here is looking for a job. Maybe someone here just doesn't know what tomorrow is going to bring. It's got a lot of uncertainty that you're facing. And Daniel was facing some uncertainty. But God sent a message to him saying, listen, your future is in my hands. The people of Israel are in my hands. I will take care of them. I will protect them, and I will use them for my glory. And it was to signify that his future was going to be okay. Can I tell you something, church? Can I tell you something, lost person here? If you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you will turn to the Lord Jesus even today, I want to tell you your future is secure. Your future in heaven is secure, and your future here on earth is secure in the hands of Almighty God. Listen to what Jeremiah says in chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What is that? That's a secure future. And I don't have to, listen, I don't have to worry about the future, okay? God's got that taken care of. Let me trust Him today and the future needs will be met. So why else did this angel touch him? To settle his fears, to signify his future, but get this, and this is my last point, to show his favor. God wanted to show Daniel by sending this angel to tell him, I love you. Isn't that special, folks? Those of you that ever received the message from a loved one, whether it just be a note, a text, Facebook message, whatever the case may be, a simple phrase like, just wanted you to know that I love you. Did you know that's what God did right here, folks, through His angel Gabriel? The Word of God says it. Look there with me. Look there with me. It says there in chapter 9 and verse number, we go to verse number 21 and verse number 22 and then verse number 23 toward the end of verse 23. It says here, I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly what, church? Beloved. God just sent him a message, church, just to tell him that He loved him. What an awesome thought that God went out of His way to send one of His highest ranked angels, Gabriel, to tell Daniel, I love you. And I want to tell you, God Almighty is saying the same thing to you this morning. I love you. Wherever you're at in life, whatever, however broken you are, however together you have it, I want to tell you, God is saying this morning, I love you. And if you and I can get our minds and hearts wrapped around that one phrase from the Almighty God, I want to tell you, you'll walk out of here knowing that everything's going to be okay. Because God says, I love you. You are greatly loved, Daniel, and I'm going to take care of you, child. Oh, praise God for that. I love what He told Jeremiah too. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying to Jeremiah, yea, I have loved thee, Jeremiah, with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh, may your hearts be drawn to the loving kindness of Almighty God this morning. I want to tell you something. Daniel was touched by an angel sent by God to help him, to encourage him, to clarify things. But I want to tell you something, folks. God did expect Daniel to do something. And that something was simply turning to Him, seeking after Him, the Lord, from his heart with prayer, supplication, with sacrifice. Hey, I don't know about you, but let's ask ourselves this morning, look back on our lives. Where have we been spiritually on our heart for the Lord Jesus? Our heart for souls, our heart for service in the church. Has it grown cold? Well, the Word of God would consider us backslidden. And there's no greater time and no greater place than to get that right today before even leaving here. I must read you this. I don't know about y'all, but I do like to hear this certain gentleman sing. Some people are like, no way. But I love to hear Lester Roloff sing. Some people are like, I don't know where you get that, preacher. I don't know if it's just the preaching him, but it just does something to my heart. And he sings a song, boy, that I just love. And it's basically titled this, Hold On a Little Longer. Let me read it to you. You took the hand of Jesus, stepped out on His promise, yet seems you have trusted in vain. The answer you'd prayed for, it's on its way and paid for. Hold on a little longer. Hold on. And it goes on to say, hold on a little longer. Hold on a little stronger. The testings of the Lord are pure gold. He'll take you through the fire. He'll burn out the dross and mire. Hold on a little longer. Hold on. And then the chorus says, hold on. Pray on. Hold on a little longer. Hold on. Hold on and pray on. Hold on a little longer. Hold on. And I believe with all my heart here this morning, I believe Daniel was so glad that he kept holding on. He trusted the Lord God that He would answer that prayer. And we see He answers in a mighty way, in a special way, through His messenger, Gabriel. And can I say, God may not send an angel to you this morning like He did Daniel. Because Daniel did not have the complete Word of God. But today we have the complete Word of God. And we got a message that says this. I love you. Let's pray. Father, oh God, would you help us to realize, just as Daniel was broken And as we find ourselves broken and waiting for answers and looking for hope, Lord, You can do the same thing in our lives. Lord, I realize that Daniel had Gabriel visit. But Lord, I don't have anything against angels, and I'm so thankful for the good angels, Your angels. But Lord, I believe I can say that You have given us something much better than angels. And that's the Holy Spirit who lives within us. God Himself living in me to comfort me and to give me words of assurance through Your Word. Almighty God, I'm thankful for that. And I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will hear Your voice this morning, O God. And hear the message You had for Daniel. Lord, that You can settle any fear. That You can secure any future. O God, and that You truly can help us in any issue that we have. Lord God, we commit this time to You, this time of invitation. Would You meet needs in only a way You can? For it's in Jesus' name I do pray.